We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt, that guy over there, the one, the only, still the incomparable Dan Rubenstein in Chicago, Illinois, the heart of the Midwest, and now, unfortunately, coachless at Oregon. Dan, how you doing?
I'm okay because I got word. I'm actually also following Mario Cristobal to Miami. So I take back everything I said, and Miami is a program on the rise, and this is the answer. They got their guy. We got our guy, Ty. No, I'm okay. Life is all right. Yesterday was a tremendous day for Solid Verbal content, though. I love all this stuff. If Oregon could change their coach annually, like back to the Willie Taggart model, it'd be great for us.
Man, we have been doing so many live streams as coaching news becomes available. We did three last week with Lincoln Riley leaving, then with Brian Kelly leaving, with Marcus Freeman taking the job at Notre Dame. We did one this week with, obviously, Mario Cristobal leaving to go to Miami. And then, of course, with the news that Brent Venables is going to Oklahoma. If you missed any of that content, going out to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/thesolidverbal. Throw us a subscribe. You can get access to all of that content. It's free. If you want to get it in podcast audio form, you can also join up at verballers.com. Our Patreon, we double up and post all that stuff out there if you just want to listen to the audio version. One more time, verballers.com is where you can find that content. There's a lot going on in college football. And
there is.
Because of the on-demand nature of what we do here on the podcast, we have not had a chance to discuss all of it. So we are going to jump into that and much, much more over the course of the next 45 to 60 minutes or so. The only other tidbit that I should just throw out at the very top is going out to solidverbal.com. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already, so you get three episodes a week. We're going to continue doing three episodes a week through the end of bowl season. And solidgiveaway.com, the contest is now closed, but not for long. We will announce a new contest coming up in about a week from now. And last but certainly not least, we've got a bowl pool, which you can find out a whole lot more about at playwinterwonders.com. It's our bowl confidence pool. It's only available to folks out there on the Patreon, but we would encourage you to go on out to playwinterwonders.com. We're going to do a big bowl preview sequence, I'll call it. Starting up next week on Monday and Wednesday, we're going to tell you how to pick your bowl confidence pool. We've got a stream planned for one night next week. We're still ironing out the timing on that. We'll post it accordingly. And then at some point, as we get closer to the bigger games in New Year's Six, the playoffs and whatnot, we'll obviously dive into a little bit more detail and talk about those games. But we got bowl matchups that we will, I think, highlight towards the end of the show. So a lot to discuss here.
Absolutely. And I guess we still have at least one more big coach-related stream left as I either celebrate or am let down a bit by whoever Oregon hires. And I know we're going to get into that conversation, but when Oregon does, in fact, make a head coaching hire, unless something else surprisingly opens up among the bigger jobs in the country, that will probably be our final. But sometimes, you know what? There are surprises, Ty.
Ryan Day could go to the Bears, Dan. That's a rumor.
Ryan Day could go to the Bears, and then all of a sudden, well, the coaching carousel spins anew, and so we'll have to do an Ohio State show. Whatever the case, Alabama might open up at any moment. You never know, Ty. You never know. So here we are, and we will do that, you know, youtube.com/thesolidverbal.
Pack your ready bag, just in case.
Always, go bag.
Need to make sure that we're ready to go. All right, let's get on with it. Gonna save the voice. I've been yelling at a high pitch a lot lately because of all the news, but here's
the deal.
How is
your voice? How is your voice? You were struggling there for a little while.
Keeping it together with duct tape and chicken wire right now.
I like it. Good.
But it's still working. I'm drinking a lot of tea. Enough tea to kill a small pony. But it's holding
Not
together,
a major
okay.
Clydesdale pony, but a tie-sized pony.
A Falabella miniature horse, yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Mario Cristobal made it official. Going to Miami, we had heard rumors for a couple days, couple weeks, that perhaps it'd be a thing that Miami was pushing to get their guy, get another Miami guy back in Coral Gables.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, $80 million. He officially made the news public on Monday. So we did a stream. We reacted to it again. You can go out and listen to the full, hour and 10, hour and 15 that we did. We included Jeff Schwartz in that as well. But so many different angles to cover with respect to this. Why don't we start with the Miami angle? Miami's administration at the moment is sort of in shambles. They came into money recently because of profits due to the Miami health system, whatever.
Yeah.
They are now reinvesting some of those profits in the football program. They are starting with Mario Cristobal. They are hoping to bring over Dan Radakovich, the trusted hand on the administrative side to run the athletics department.
From Clemson. Has history at Miami, yeah.
That is reportedly going to be the next step. But Miami folks are excited, Dan, about getting Cristobal. Should they be excited about getting Cristobal?
I think so. It's potentially a very intriguing winning hire, given his ascendance, going from an offensive line coach and assistant head coach at Alabama and serving as the Tide's ace recruiter and stacking up really impressive classes at Oregon and winning a bunch of games at Oregon, including a Rose Bowl with Justin Herbert and the Pac-12 a couple years in a row, as strange as last year was, where they ended up in the championship game after Washington couldn't play in that game and winning and beating USC, I believe, in that matchup. So had a lot of success at Oregon, did a lot of new things at Oregon in terms of roster building. And with the talent in Florida, a talent-rich state where, we're seeing that talent go everywhere now, Georgia, Florida State, of course, Alabama, across the SEC and ACC, that the potential for building a better roster than Miami has had in recent memory certainly is there. And inheriting a quarterback, much like he did at Oregon with Justin Herbert, now in Tyler Van Dyme to those in the know, certainly had to appeal to Mario Cristobal in looking at whether he wanted to take this job. When you have a quarterback with a huge potential like Tyler Van Dyme has, it has to be crazy appealing. The coordinator hires will be fascinating to watch because he largely succeeded, though at times there were some shaky coaching from coordinators at Oregon and development at Oregon. But apparently he's going to have a huge pool with which to hire those coordinators. And Joe Brady's name has already come up given his background in South Florida. We'll see. We'll absolutely see. The downsides are, I think, well known among the Oregon community, but maybe not at large because people see Oregon as a very successful program, rightfully so. But just that, Justin Herbert was underutilized and looked a lot better once he started playing NFL defenses than Pac-12 defenses, which is kind of, alarm bells in terms of how Mario's vision for that offense was. It was a lot of power running despite lack of success. The big gorilla ball stuff that I like to joke about.
Yeah. Right.
And There was turnover at Oregon. Mario burnt people out in the way that we talked about Jim Harbaugh at his stops. That is very much true of Mario Cristobal, and Miami doesn't have the infrastructure. You can say that Miami's a better job, a better program, whatever, because of its history and its access to recruits, but everybody wins at Oregon. Not so much at Miami. And there's a lot of pressure there to return to glory days that can weigh on coaches and expectations of boosters and administrators and, you know, no on-campus stadium. Like, there are a lot of drawbacks to the Miami job. It's one of those things, Ty, where you can say it's a tone thing. You can say the same thing with different tones, and they could both be true. Like, I don't know if Miami could have done better than Mario Cristobal, or I don't know if Miami could have done better than Mario Cristobal, right? Like, it depends on your tone, and both can be, like, vaguely true at the same time. So, if I'm a Miami fan, I'm quite optimistic and excited. From my perspective, my absolutely biased narrator perspective, from some of the stuff that was underwhelming at Oregon, I hope it changes. But there's some stuff in his DNA now added to the pressure at a job in which nobody wins the ACC at Miami. Just nobody does it. Not Randy Shannon, not Al Golden, not Manny Diaz, not Mark Richt. And so there are reasons for that. Maybe it's a new era at Miami in terms of money and facilities and, you know, the hope of building a stadium. You know, there's rumors of that. Maybe it's a different era. But, you know, it takes time to change, Ty, in this sport. It does. And does he have that time given, what, 10 years, $80 million? That's not a time contract. And I know I just said 10 years, but yes, they'll buy him out if it doesn't work out.
Here's the thing. And here is the only, I think, real point of hesitation I have with this hire.
Okay.
It seems like an ongoing series of purity tests to get the guy who is most Miami to be the coach at Miami. I understand that draw. It is not unique to Miami. We've heard it at Michigan. We've heard it at Notre Dame. We've heard it at Texas. We've heard it at every blue blood that's had a coach opening in the last decade plus.
Penn Staters are already ready to hire Matt Rhule. They're already lining up
to
do so.
You need somebody who understands us.
Yeah, of course.
Each program, to its credit, is unique unto itself. Miami is no different in that sense, but we've had Randy Shannon, who had familiarity with Miami. The players loved Randy Shannon. It didn't work out for him, but everybody was jazzed up to some extent.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe not to this extent, but to some extent, like, we got a guy. We got a guy. And then Mark Richt, he was familiar with Miami. Oh, he's coming home. Welcome home, Coach Richt. Mm-hmm. And then we had Manny Diaz. His dad was the mayor. He's a Miami guy. He knows what it takes to win. All these guys. Now we've got a guy in Cristobal who, you know, played in the heyday of the Miami swagger, and perhaps it will be different. I hope it's different for what they're paying him. I'm just not sure that changing out these musical chairs is going to produce a different result. I hope, for Mario Cristobal's sake, going back home, being closer to his family, getting this huge bag of money, having the opportunity to maybe build this thing from the studs on out, can produce a different result, because I honestly believe maybe this is a throwback to my heyday as a youth back in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly believe that Miami being interesting is better for college football. You hear us say that about a number of programs, USC, right? Texas, all these programs. I think an interesting Miami makes for a more interesting conversation in the college football world.
Sure.
And certainly in the ACC, which is in desperate need of a counterbalance to Clemson. So if he can do all that, if he can get things going in a direction that feels like it's going to get there at some point, you can't flip a switch. But right. I am optimistic for that. I just don't know if Mario's the guy. I don't know if anybody's the guy. Frankly, I don't know what it takes to get back to that level, because things are different now. It is not the late 80s. We've got YouTube, as you said on our stream. Everybody can see the talent in South Florida and schools like Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama. And you can go up and down the top 10. They all know about the talent down there now. 24/7 sports ain't taking days off. So it's just a different landscape, and Mario's ability to keep talent at home, I think, will probably be job number one. But they got their guy. They got rid of Manny Diaz. They just kicked him to the curb. Here's his quote. Mm-hmm. I am disappointed in the university's decision to leave me twisting in the wind. He didn't say that, but I just made that up.
Yeah, you added that.
The manner in which this played out over the last few weeks, the uncertainty impacted our team, our staff, their families, these are real people, blah, blah, blah. Manny Diaz got a a raw deal. There's no two ways about it. They did not conduct themselves professionally. It's a harsh sport. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of investment that goes on behind the scenes. It's not always the kindest of professions, but they treated him like a piece of dirt. And that sucks.
Just like they and Manny Diaz treated Temple like a piece of dirt. Like, it's, everybody likes to point out, like, don't feel bad for Manny Diaz. Look how dirty he did Temple. No, no, that was a Miami coaching search, right? This is the next Miami coaching search to be crazy sloppy and disrespectful. Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the Mariota Miami thing other than we need to wait and see who he hires as his assistant?
Yeah, of course. I saw Alex Mirabal, who's like Mario's best friend, and they go way, way back. He was Oregon's offensive line coach with Mario and very well respected. He's following him to Miami. I don't know about the strength coach, you know, the handlebar mustache, Aaron Feld. I imagine he's going to go to Miami as well. He doesn't have a West Coast background. He was an SEC punter, I believe, for Mississippi State, or maybe a long snapper, something like that. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's going to be the difference between great recruiting and smart recruiting. And it's something that has plagued USC at times, something that has plagued Texas at times. Schools that you're like, oh, you can just like swing a dead cat and hit 38 5-stars in your backyard. Okay, is that the fit for your program, though? Is it the right blue chip cornerback? Is it the right blue chip wide receiver for what you're trying to do for your system, for your culture, everything like that? Whereas that's where you saw what Pete Carroll did at USC. He went to Oregon, he went to Utah, he went to Texas, New Jersey, Florida. I know I sound like Howard Dean when I go through this. Isn't that who said that? We're going to Michigan! Yeah. We're going to but a lot of people look at that Miami job and like, look, you can build a championship roster in your backyard. It's a huge state, a lot of talent. It's not, I mean, look what Nick Saban does. Nick Saban's in the South. He goes to Ohio. He goes to New Jersey. He goes to Florida. He goes to California, right? And so I'm almost positive Najee Harris from the Fresno area. So that was the fit. And he happened to be a 5-star all everything running back, but you're bringing in guys from different places and it's not, you don't want that homogenous locker room. And so that to me has been, well, that was the downfall of Larry Coker, right? He was recruiting stars. He was just, we have it all here. I'm just going to, and it just didn't work out. There weren't fits. There were guys that were overrated because they're like, oh, this guy's fast and from South Florida. He's a 4-star. And so the smart recruiting thing, which I think Mario Cristobal did well at Oregon because he had to, I think is going to be huge because that's the, you know, the Mac Brown thing, right? He would just like bring in every 4- and 5-star for junior day and wrap up his class because look, it was so easy. They're so close. They're so promising. And he neglected to actually keep up with the vision. So yeah.
Well,
that
he's
to me
a good
will
recruiter.
Be fascinating to watch. He's a great recruiter.
Mario's a good recruiter.
Smart, though. We'll see.
And I definitely think that that could be something that pays dividends at Miami. If you ask Miami fans, that's what they'll point to.
Sure.
With respect to the last few regimes, that recruiting has not been on par. Maybe Mario can change that. I hope for his sake he can. This, of course, leaves a huge opening at Oregon at a really sensitive time in the recruiting cycle, in the coaching search cycled on the carousel, Dan, as opposed to many of these other jobs that have been out there. There have not been any obvious names that came to mind. Of course, everyone throws out Chip Kelly right away. Would Chip Kelly go back to Oregon? Would they want him back at Oregon?
Right.
Maybe that's kind of top billing. I don't know. You know the program better than I do. But I have heard, frankly, a lot of names, like 10 names that I guess could be associated with the job, but none of which necessarily jump out to me as being slam dunks. A lot of uncertainty now with respect to where that program goes next. Now, again, we've been doing live streams and we will do a live stream when Oregon makes a decision on where it is going next with its head football coach. But where are you at, Dan? Where do you want to see the program go given where it's been, you know, recently versus the past under Chip Kelly? Where you think it can go now with their continued reinvestment in the football program? What does Oregon need to get to that next gear?
I mean, that's they've won the Pac-12 two of the last 3 years. I guess the next gear is competing with Utah. I guess that would be job number one. Play a game that that Mario Cristobal wasn't quite
that
able to
do. That
you
don't lose by 4 scores? Right.
Right. So look, the names, you know, Chip Kelly's name has come up. Justin Wilcox is a name, and I think it's a quite polarizing name. People will say, well, he hasn't won. Look at his coordinator hires at Cal. You know, that team didn't improve over the, you know, he would field like amazing defenses, but have these terrible offenses. And then this year was just sort of a below average team. And, you know, even with lesser talent in the best of Cal situations, he was able to beat more talented teams, like the troubles he gave some Washington schools and, you know, the Oregon games. There's been a couple Oregon games that were close, and they beat Oregon last year. So what could he do with better resources, better players, whatever? I get that argument, but Oregon's a major, major program. And to take a chance on, look, we know he's been only okay, but what if, right? And so that is, like, the Mario Cristobal was internal and the players loved him and there was momentum there. You understand that promotion. And obviously you understand the Mark Helfrich promotion, the Chip Kelly promotion, whatever. But Justin Wilcox is a little bit of a wing and a prayer. I have really been impressed by what Dave Aranda has done at Baylor. He has said he is not moving on in this cycle. I don't know if that's changed. I know they offered him an extension, which I haven't seen if he's actually signed it, what his buyout would look like. He has a West Coast footprint and seems like he'd be a fit, different place, different guy kind of thing. But that's also winging a prayer because he just won the Big 12 in year two. Now, is the future of the Pac-12 looking brighter in terms of the top of the conference as opposed to the Big 12 with Oklahoma and Texas leaving? Argument could be made. I don't know if that's what drives Dave Aranda, the ego thing, but me personally, I think that would be great. I think that would be wonderful to have him there. You know, Tom Herman is a name that's interesting if you're looking for another buy low, who Texas is a school in which nobody has won consistently in, what, around year 12 of nobody winning consistently. Otherwise, good coaches not being able to get it together at Texas.
I mean, it's like the 100 years war at this point.
Right. He was the one guy to get Texas to a New Year's Six game, if memory serves, since Mack Brown.
Yep.
Or BCS. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think that's right.
Sugar Bowl, 2018.
Yeah, so I don't believe sarcasm yet. I don't believe Charlie Strong did. So I think that's the case. So that would be a buy-low candidate who you know would recruit and has a West Coast footprint and might look at Oregon as a destination job. But again, you're buying low, because his reputation by the time he left Texas wasn't good enough for that specific job. Oregon's a job which everybody wins. Everybody wins at Oregon. Everybody wins the Pac-12, save for Willie Taggart's one season. And so, I don't know, maybe that's a better fit. But I don't have that name. You know, I like Jeff Hafley. I like those young up-and-comers who hire well and are aggressive and are well-regarded, and he has the NFL experience. I like that. Dude, that's another dude. If Jeff Hafley wins at Oregon, is he going to take like the Raiders job, you know,
right?
Where that's the worry, that he doesn't look at it as a destination. And maybe as an Oregon fan and Oregon fans, we all need to say, maybe the idea of Oregon having a new coach every 4 or 5 years, maybe that's just like part of our identity and we're just unique that way. And it stinks, but like, that's the niche we're carving out in the college football universe, that we just keep hiring coaches who win. We'll see.
Well, it's a good program to step into.
Sure.
And I'm very curious, as most college football fans are, to see which direction they go with it next. The fact that there are no obvious names, maybe outside Chip Kelly, and I could even argue that that's not realistic.
Here's the thing. You got to recruit at Oregon, and Chip Kelly's not that dude, especially as it seems right now. He's not that dude with top Southern California recruits. And I could see Dave Aranda or Tom Herman or somebody like that working their way in. And they're not going to be, you know, the killer unless that assistant, the coaching staff is where Mario's was. But that's not going to be Chip Kelly. And that's the worry. I mean, the worry is it's just it can only get worse from where they were with Chip Kelly, right? Part one. And so, yeah, I would hesitate strongly, especially like you look at Chip Kelly and who he hired and brought with him. He like got the band back together with his old Oregon assistants at UCLA. Like, I don't sense the hunger that's needed for Oregon to win within Chip Kelly.
All right. Well, more to come on that as news becomes available. Do stay tuned to our social media feeds.
Yeah,
we will be doing a live stream, I'm assuming, whenever that news comes out. My guess is they're going to have to move fairly quickly. So be ready. Elsewhere around the coaching ranks, Brent Venables to Oklahoma officially. As of a couple days ago now, Brent Venables was, I think, their top target. After Lincoln Riley decided to leave a little over a week ago, Venables coming back home. He had been in Norman for quite some time. The fact that he gets to go back there now, I think, is a relief, frankly, to many Sooner fans, at least the ones that we've talked to that listen to our show and choose to write in and give us their view on the matter. A bunch of names have been speculated, but ultimately they get Venables. It's an interesting case, I think, not only for Oklahoma, but also for Clemson. Clemson losing their longtime defensive hand who has done great things, recruited at a high level there, been painstaking with regard to detail on that defense, and has certainly taken it to new heights. So this is a move that, by and large, I think anywhere you look is being graded out as an A minus at worst, given his familiarity with Norman, given what he did there before he ended up leaving and going elsewhere, Dan. But any regrets with this move? Any reason to doubt that Venables is a good move for the Sooner program?
Sure. You have a favorite Brent Venables head coached team? He's never had a job like this. And so it's not doubts per se, because a lot of arrows are pointing to him succeeding. Oklahoma's a huge job. He's a huge name. He's a huge candidate and has been for a little while now. But yeah, the doubts are that the bar is incredibly high for Oklahoma as a playoff-ish team. They've been at least a couple times, if memory serves. And so, yeah, as a first-time head coach, what can you do to meet or exceed expectations when exceeding expectations means winning playoff games? And so that's incredibly difficult to do, especially now that they're moving to a more difficult, a noticeably more difficult, more competitive, both on the recruiting trail, on the field, conference. And so that's the doubt, that Brent Venables might be really good, and really good might not be good enough for those in Norman, especially. I don't know what his contract is. Not my money. Get paid what you can get. But there are going to be expectations, maybe not in year one, but moving forward after year one of let's find ourselves in a playoff type conversation in November, like Oklahoma has been for the recent past. That's how they picture themselves. And to do that, we're talking about the best of the best of the best in the sport that are every year in that conversation in November. So I think it's just very difficult. I think the defenses will be very good. I think Oklahoma's still going to attract a ton of talent, but they're starting over. They haven't hired a new coach. You know, Lincoln Riley was promoted in whatever it was, 2016. They haven't had a coaching search like this since, what, the late 90s when they brought in Bob Stoops?
Sure.
So, you know, we have to wait to see who the offensive coordinator hire is, who the full staff. We're saying this for everybody. But yeah, that's the doubt is what's expected of him is near impossible.
My favorite misinterpretation of what I said, I would say in the last 6 months, has been what happened after I made some comments on our live stream. After, again, Venables went official and we went live and we talked about this, and I talked about him bringing defense to Oklahoma, there were a bunch of Big 12 fans who said, well, this implication that it's an offense-only conference, it's dated. Defense has grown up in the Big 12. It's gotten to a place that it wasn't the last couple of years. Look at Oklahoma State. It's a top five defense. I never said that. I never said that. What I think is exciting about this hire, frankly, is the fact that he can make Oklahoma's defense better. I'm not blind to what's going on around other teams in the Big 12 conference. Baylor is a great example of a school that's gotten more defensive, right? Oklahoma State, Jim Knowles has made that defense better the last couple of years. They've been really good. They were really good this year. Even K-State. K-State's been, you know, above average on defense.
I think if anything, it's been a defensive conference and a lack of offense.
Exactly.
Has been
and Oklahoma, in that sense, has been so good on offense. And the knock on them, if you want to find a fly in the ointment, right? The knock on them has been that they can't play high-level defense. That's why they brought Alex Grinch over. They wanted to get to the next level defensively. They were going in a good direction this year.
It took a big step back after last year,
So if Brent Venables can make them better on defense the way he did at Clemson, and if he can maintain some degree of aptitude on the offensive side of the ball, Oklahoma wins the Big 12. They win it every year.
for as long as they're there. I mean, we don't know many more years that is. Yeah.
The SEC's a whole different ball of wax, but you get my point.
Sure. But we might only be talking about 2 years. Yeah.
That's why I find it so exciting. If he can do here what he did at Clemson, if he can maintain the recruiting, there's a bunch of ifs there. Ifs are doing a lot of heavy lifting in this statement, granted. Sure. I feel really optimistic about this hire. I think I've been forced to throw out the previous head coaching experience excuse because I'm so excited about Marcus Freeman. Mm-hmm. This is just not going to thing I'm going to talk about this cycle. I'm just going to throw caution to the wind and we'll sort of go with it. But I like it. I like the fact that they get a guy that we know wants to be there. I don't think he's going to be looking to move on. He was a coordinator for like 20 years.
Sure.
He's happy when he's happy. And now that he gets to go back home to Norman, he's from that part of the country. He's from Kansas, I think. So he's he's familiar with the area. He's familiar with Oklahoma. I like the move.
Okay. As do I. It's one of those things, though, that, and I see all these like coaching higher grades and like, just guessing. You're just making like,
well, it's a
there's
coin
no
flip.
Actual context of
flip.
Anything. Right. And you're just like, well, this is what I think might happen. Like, okay, what's the difference between giving Brent Venables a B and an A minus? Like, nothing. It doesn't mean anything. So it's not a coin flip. I think he's likelier to succeed than not. But within the context of expectations of fans, administrators, whatever, like, it's more difficult than what Brent Pry has ahead of him at Virginia Tech.
For
even
sure.
though presumably he'll have better teams, it's just a more difficult job to keep when you're meeting those type of expectations. So, I'm thrilled for the novelty of all these new guys. I don't love new coach season, but I love thinking about, you know, the different directions that schools can go in once those coaches are hired in terms of scheme, in terms of recruiting, all that stuff. I love the novelty. That's one of the big appeals to me about college football is there's so much change. That's the only certainty in life and college football. Like, things are just going to keep changing. Sure, Nick Saban and Dabo have been around forever, but otherwise, everything's new, everything's changing, everything's different, so it keeps you on your toes.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The other coaching announcement that we can talk about just briefly, Jay Norvell leaving Nevada, going to Colorado State. Both programs are in the Mountain West. The reason that he would make a move like that, not quite a lateral move. Colorado State has a much heavier investment in the football program.
Oh, yeah, bigger program.
Much bigger program. Didn't work out with Adazio. They're going to Norvell. Norvell is very highly thought of. His name has come up in accordance with a bunch of other bigger jobs on the West Coast, but glad to see that he gets this gig now. He's the first black head football coach at Colorado State, which is, you know, an accomplishment unto itself.
Yeah, big deal.
So we wish him the best at Colorado State. Otherwise, you know, the Oregon job's open. We talked about that. The Virginia job is still open. My understanding is that Tony Elliott is out of the running, Tony Elliott being the offensive coordinator for Clemson. There have been some other names like Anthony Poindexter from Penn State who might be the leading candidate for a job like that. We'll wait and see. Elliot may be in the running at Duke as they are trying to hire their replacement for David Cutcliffe. But it could be interesting at some point in time to discuss where Dabo goes next. I'm sure that will be a talking point on this show. We've got a lot of hours to fill in the offseason. But Brent Venables going to Oklahoma, potentially Tony Elliott going somewhere else as well.
Yeah, no, it'll be, I mean, I think the Norvell hire was terrific for Colorado State. They needed a real coach. Sorry, they just did. They needed a real coach. Jay Norvell is a real coach with real success. He's been at big places, you know, has learned from some of the better coaches in the sport, you know, has been at Oklahoma, ASU, Texas, has been in the NFL. So, you know, good for the Rams. Excited to hopefully see a much more exciting version of Colorado State getting back to where they were, albeit briefly under Jim McElwain. Michael Gallup? That was the big receiver. He's on the Cowboys now, right? He's really good in the NFL.
Yep.
So yeah, he was killing it at Colorado State. So hoping for more of that from the Rams in the Mountain West.
On the player side of this news show, Dan, we've got our four Heisman finalists.
We do.
Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Kenny Pickett, and Aiden Hutchinson will be in New York. Almost instantly upon seeing the candidates, everyone was like, well, what about Will Anderson?
Why? Why not Will Anderson?
Will Anderson? He's better than Aiden Hutchinson. Whatever.
Okay.
Look, you know where I stand on the Heisman.
Yeah.
I hate individual awards. I get it. I know why they're a thing. I don't care about the Heisman.
I mean, Ray Guy has been racked up, right? Ray Guy has been racked up, has been wrapped up with Matt Ariza, San Diego State. That's great.
I don't care about individual awards. I never have. I get why the Heisman is significant. I get that there's history there. And I understand why all these guys are there. Bryce Young probably won it with his performance in the SEC championship game. Sure. CJ Stroud had a hell of a year. Both these guys are freshmen, by the way, which is amazing. Kenny Pickett is not, but Kenny Pickett had just a baller season. He deserves to be there. And Aiden Hutchinson deserves to be there. I don't really have any hot takes. You know, you talk about speaking from the chest. If I'm truly speaking from the chest, I don't really care who's there. But these four guys are as deserving as any four. So I wish them nothing but the best. I'm sure one of them will win it. Otherwise, something's gone terribly wrong. And I believe that person will be Bryce Young.
The only thing I have to say is, once again, if you're asking me to speak from the chest about the Heisman, is why isn't Will Anderson there? Oh, why? Won't somebody please think of Will Anderson? Do these guys even watch college football?
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Oh, my God. No, Will Anderson.
It's okay.
I've lost so much sleep.
It's okay.
Yeah, come on. Will Anderson's great and he doesn't need the validation from the Heisman. Like, it's just so stupid to get worked up. Sorry. That's my speaking from the chest. Like, you don't need to validate Will Anderson. He's excellent. He's amazing. And just like, oh, I want to change the way the sport works by having more defensive players considered for the Heisman. Okay. Cool. It's just okay to say this guy is excellent. He's going to get drafted, you know, near the top of the NFL draft and has the ability to make millions and millions of dollars and leave an extremely impressive legacy at both the college and pro level. Like, I don't know. It's just it's a cool experience to get invited to New York. But if you don't, you know, I think you're going to get over it. I think everybody will. It's fine.
He'll win some other award.
Sure.
He's got to win something. There's like 58 awards.
I don't know.
They'll give him something. He'll probably win a national championship. That's what he'll win.
Oh, why?
All right. Those are your four guys. Also, look, it's early. We're doing this show on December the 7th. That's when we're recording it. It's dropping on the 8th for the general public. A little early for our Patreon people, for ballers.com. Quick plug. Right now, the biggest name that I've seen opt out of a bowl game is your boy, Kayvon Thibodeau.
I have seen that.
Going to opt out of the bowl game. Not a huge surprise. He's going to skip it. He's going to go pro. Probably going to be a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
Kayvon Thibodeau, again, not surprising that he would decide to do this. He's been very active on the NIL front. You'll know he signed a handful of deals. He got one with eBay, United Airlines. He got a big memorabilia deal. He did the NFT thing with Phil Knight, which I'm a tech guy. Somebody's still got to explain the NFT thing to me.
Yeah, I'm a huge NFT guy. I'll take this offline with you, Ty. I'll explain how this is the future.
I've been hopping
so
in
important.
Twitter spaces. I still don't know what the hell they are.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to explain. He started his own cryptocurrency.
Sure, of course.
Dream, J-R-E-A-M. Someone's going to have to explain that to me, too. I just, yeah.
God, Ty,
maybe I'm not smart enough, but
it's so important. I launched Rubin Coin, and I can't tell you, Ty, I can't keep up with, I don't know, draining the greater Chicagoland's power supply.
I can't look, I'm 40 years old now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too old to understand these newfangled inventions, but
I make pizza. I yodel about college football. That's
maybe
about
I
my
should.
Limits as a human.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to explain it to me, you can come on the show and do that.
Yeah.
Any other names that you've heard? Matt Corral, I think, is the one that I'm waiting on.
Sure.
I know Baylor fans are supremely interested in what Matt Corral decides to do. That'll affect the Sugar Bowl, of course. A bunch of big names. Look, it's just kind of the sign of the times.
What year is Will Anderson? Excuse me. Will Anderson.
Thank you.
Wait, is he eligible this year coming out? I believe he is. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of the Alabama guys are going to opt out. Evan Neal's likely the first tackle off the board. He'll be playing. I don't know because there aren't huge names right now that are like, I know Kayvon Thibodeau is one of them, and like some of these, Aiden Hutchinson, of course, but a lot of the huge names are playing in the playoff. And so, no, I don't think we're going to see a huge exodus of known commodities, known qualities like Kayvon Thibodeau. But that's just a guess.
Yeah, there was some speculation maybe Kyle Hamilton would come back for the bowl. Kyle Hamilton should not come back for the bowl game. Kyle Hamilton should save his knee, and he should
go
pro.
Who's Notre Dame playing? Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it's fine.
He should save his knee. Get drafted by the Giants, make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm... Ty, you don't want to watch Kyle Hamilton waste away for the New York Giants,
also
do you?
True. Also true.
Don't you want, good things for him in his life? Hasn't he done enough to make you happy wish happiness upon him?
I wanted them to draft Saquon Barkley with the fire of 1,000 suns. And I don't care if, from a GM standpoint, it doesn't make sense to take a guy like that, number two overall, but I just wanted him on my team. And now he's gotten hurt twice, and he's going to waste away too. So,
man, a running back that you pay a lot of money getting hurt?
I don't care. I like him.
I know. The point is you get to collect football cards, Ty.
That's right.
That's the point of football fandom. You get a Saquon Barkley football card, and he's wearing your team's uniform. It's Joe Judge, right? That's the coach of the Giants.
Yeah,
should we talk NFL now?
Mike Judge.
Because my knowledge of the NFL is limited to what I see in passing on Twitter, and he apparently didn't go for it on 4th-and-2 from the 46 or something and explained it away with just nothing but generic terms. Be like, look, we're trying to get everybody involved here. We're trying to get who's Riley something. I don't know. It's just coaches spew such nonsense on every level. It's the thing that binds the sport. I love it.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, we'll find out more names as we go along. I'm sure there will be more opt-outs, but right now, KT is the big name. The only other item for discussion here is we got bowl matchups.
We do have bowl matchups.
We got bowl matchups. We talked about the playoff on the show that we did, obviously, on Sunday.
We might still have lingering thoughts, though.
We might still have lingering thoughts in the playoff, but a couple teams here that are of interest, I think, to our listening audience. We've got the Fiesta Bowl between Notre Dame and Oklahoma State on New Year's Day. We've got the Citrus Bowl, Iowa and Kentucky. The Rose Bowl, Utah, Ohio State. The Sugar Bowl, Baylor and Ole Miss. I mentioned that one a little bit ago. We've got some other interesting matchups. One thing that I found incredibly interesting was a game that they're calling the Frisco Football Classic. Do you know the deal with this?
The first ever classic that's not going to happen next year, too. It was created to get two bowl-eligible-ish teams into
a
bowl.
They just invented it.
Yeah.
There were too many bowl-eligible teams.
Yeah.
And so ESPN and, I don't know, City of Frisco, Toyota, whoever, put their heads together and said, Frisco Football Classic, North Texas, Miami, Ohio. Done and done.
As the owner of a Frisco Bowl Classic NFT, I am extremely excited
with your Frisco
the
coin.
Value. Yeah, my Frisco coin is shooting up as we speak, Ty. So this one will be nice. No, actually, my actual take on the bowl slate and bowl schedule is usually there are 5 to 7 games where I will make a point of watching. I watch many more than that, but really get excited going in. I feel the tingles for this random holiday bowl or this random whatever bowl. And this year, it almost seems triple that number. Like, there are a crazy amount of matchups that just on paper, when I saw them announced, you know, between the New Year's Six games and obviously the playoff games, but just like Wisconsin ASU, that feels like a better Vegas Bowl than usual. Does it not?
Yeah.
I will watch Wisconsin ASU, and like, it just, if you were to look at the schedule and it was a random week seven, you'd say, this is a crazy interesting week. And so I'm, you know, even Oregon, Oklahoma with Bob Stoops and who I think it's Brian McClendon is the interim coach for Oregon, the receivers coach. Like, Tennessee Purdue is interesting. The Music City Bowl tie. Pitt, Michigan State. You have Michigan State's non-passing defense against Kenny Pickett. That'll be great. Baylor, Ole Miss, it's a, you know, depending on opt-outs, whatever. That'll be fantastic. Wazoo, Miami. I'm in on it. Two new coaches there. Not coaching in the game, although Jake Dickert is obviously as the interim now full-time coach. Penn State, Arkansas. Like, there's matchups. Who does Iowa's playing some, like Iowa, Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
That'll be weird. Like, I'm interested in all, like, Clemson, Iowa State. There is, like, a grab bag element that worked out this year that just does it for me.
There are a lot of evenly matched games and a lot of contests that feature contrasting styles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all you can ask for in bowl season.
Who does Bailey Zappi have? App State, I think? Western Kentucky,
Bailey Zappi and App State. A very good game.
That's appointment television, yeah.
It's a very good game. Earlier on in the bowl slate. So again, we're doing the confidence pool, playwinterwonders.com. This is not intended to be any kind of advertisement, but we're going to go through all these games on Monday and on Wednesday of next week, and we're going to preview them. We're going to preview all the games. We're not just going to preview them. We're going to preview my cockamamie bowl confidence pool strategy.
Right.
Which I have honed and developed, and I don't know if it's any better now than it was, but it's taken me about a decade to get here. I'm excited to share that with you. You can only take advantage of it, though, if you go to playwinterwonders.com and join our bowl confidence pool. It's for Patreon people only. My favorite game, maybe of all bowl cycle, is the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. UTSA and San Diego State.
Okay, meet me.
How about that for a game?
I'm totally good. Actually, you know what? San Diego State offense is not must watch television. I will watch maybe chunks of this game, but I don't plan my day around the Aztecs. I will admit to that. But it's still a good game. I mean, you just have teams who have won a bunch of games playing against each other. And the way San Diego State lost to Utah State has me a little less, you know, worked up over the Aztecs. But all the same, I think the broader point stands. There is something else, by the way, I wanted to let you know about. Do you remember, I guess it would have been a little over a year ago now. Trevor Lawrence is a rookie in the NFL right now, right?
Yep.
Do you remember the notable aesthetic thing about Dabo Swinney on draft night? That I'm talking about clothing. Do you remember specifically what Dabo wore to Trevor Lawrence's draft party?
Wasn't it a huge suit?
The pants especially.
Yeah.
Were baggy in a way where it's just like the airline lost my suit. And I have an hour to find like a 44
short. It's a My Cousin Vinny scenario.
Yes. And so that was, and it probably is just Dabo Swinney's suit and that's how he likes his suit and whatever. But it was roomy. It was roomy pants wise.
Sure.
And everybody had themselves a good laugh and thought, all right, well, whatever. I mean, not everybody can have, you know, the time or inclination to buy a suit that fits them really, really well, whatever. And then, and I just dropped this in our Slack direct messages, Ty, and then I saw this from Brent Venables.
Okay.
Take a look.
Okay.
What do you see?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot
of fabric. There's a lot of room.
There's a lot of fabric in those pants.
This is not an ad. This is not an Indochino thing or anything.
Oh, this is definitely not an Indochino thing.
I'm just telling you, there might be something about people connected to Dabo and Clemson. Where Dabo, before Brent Venables left, was like, okay, you've learned a lot while you're here.
Is he wearing, you know, gold shoes in this?
Now that you're a head coach. No, I just think they're lighting a lighter brown shoe.
Oh, it's a brown shoe. Okay, right.
Yeah, I just think it's the lighter hitting it. So it makes it seem kind of shiny, whatever. Because Brent Venables is a lean guy. That there is something about Clemson or Dabo specifically where it was like, look, the best advice I can give you is, you know, pay a crazy amount of attention to detail, you know, forge those relationships with parents and family members, and you're going to want more room than you think in your pants. You're going to want, give yourself the flexibility of airier room in the caboose.
You could do yoga in these pants.
And Brett Venables said to himself, you know what?
These are hammer pants.
I think you're onto something. Yeah, it's just, it's a roomier fit. And far be it for me, somebody in his late 30s, and I know you're not there anymore, to assume how one should dress 50s, 60s, wherever. That, you know, life changes. Gravity kicks in a way that I'm not used to yet. But also, buy a suit that fits. Oklahoma's paying you a good amount of cash. Clemson paid you a good amount of cash. And
it doesn't look that bad.
But see, here's the thing, though.
It's not that bad. It's not Dabo bad.
This is bad.
Remember
Maybe
Dabo.
It's an angle.
I'm not going to remember this.
Yeah, you can look up Dabo and just like, dude, come on. I know what Clemson's paying you. go to a suit shop and get fitted. The opposite is also bad, though. When you're just still a little bit tight. That's almost the Miami. If you want an analogy for Miami football, is like thinking you're still a 38 regular and really jamming yourself.
Yeah, the Kramer jeans from Seinfeld.
Do you have any like friends or parents of friends or relatives? I know you're not going to put them on blast by name or specific, you know, position in your life or whatever, but there has to be some. I can tell you there's somebody in my life and they happen to live in Florida. Not a close relative, whatever. It's actually a relative of a good like family friend, where she was somebody in a size that certain clothes fit her when she was younger, and now she is not younger. She is considerably older, as everybody eventually gets, but has sort of stuck with the same style and size that she wore back then. And an uncomfortable conversation has to come to her at some point, but it hasn't yet. And you're just like, look, we all get older and all of our bodies change. Maybe
there is a gentleman.
Yeah. Happens with men, happens with women, happens with whoever.
Yeah, and an acquaintance, let's say, whose sport coat, you know, you button the top button when you get up.
Yeah, man.
That button needs to be woven onto that jacket with like titanium thread.
Sure.
To avoid popping off.
Yep.
I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there where we're like sitting down somewhere and somebody's pants button or fly looks to be hanging on for dear life, and you're just like, maybe you're not a 38, maybe you're a 40. It's okay. We all have weird bodies. And so that to me is the opposite and also terrible. But the baggy thing, like baggy clothes make you look baggy, not even big, just baggy, which is a very weird thing to appear as. So all I'm saying here is wear a suit befitting of the job you have. Doesn't have to be the nicest suit in the world. Still not an ad, to be clear. But I saw this picture of Brent Venables. I got it in a text chain. He was like, oh, okay. That's a good warning to me personally. Like, check yourself with formal wear. That's all.
So we got all sorts of cool stuff going on here over the next couple shows. We're going to go through each of these games as best we can and instruct you how to fill out your bowl confidence pool that you can take part in that contest by going on out to playwinterwonders.com. Or hey, even if you're just picking on the side, not going to pick every game with respect to the point spread, but I have started pulling out games that I think have interesting point spreads that we need to discuss.
I agree. I will point out that only one of us hit, what, 60% in locks of the week this year? Is that true?
That is correct.
In locks of the week.
67% for you.
67%. And look, I'm not here to say that I'll just turn around and win you this pool. It takes time, it takes effort, and I build things. I build things brick by brick.
Stop it.
So I'm gonna build you a winner. You just gotta follow along.
You have no idea who to pick between Memphis and Hawaii. Or North Texas and Miami, Ohio.
I just saw a story of Hawaii players say Todd Graham has completely ruined their enthusiasm for the sport. And that has affected the way I view Hawaii at this moment.
Hawaii's good at home, though. They're good at home.
That's true.
Look at Hawaii at home. They played well. They beat Fresno at home.
I will dig into the numbers. Memphis had a very strange year.
Very strange year.
So, no, I have not decided on things. Usually I have a very specific pattern of how I pick this, but we'll see if it holds true.
All righty. Well, listen, we appreciate y'all stopping by, tuning in, supporting the show, going out to verballers.com. One more time, that is our Patreon. Also, solidgiveaway.com. Closed. We're going to announce our winner on our next show, so do stay tuned for that. Finally, don't forget to go on out to our website, solidverbal.com. You can find out all the information there, how to subscribe to the show, how to read our articles that we're going to continue posting on the website. And one more time, playwinterwonders.com. Get in on the bowl pool. Available to our Patreon subscribers. You can compete for a chance to win our Solid Verbal specific prize pack, our bowl confidence pool swag pack, Dan. And that's it.
I can't wait. No, Ty, the only thing I would add is, even though Will Anderson is in the Heisman, we're still in the midst of a December to remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so this is only heating up, as it's 12 degrees outside right now where I am. Only heating up. So keep on listening. Keep on hanging out. That's all.
For that gov there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for downloading, listening, supporting the show, and hanging with us here through bowl season. We will make it a December to remember for you. For that guy, Dan Rubenstein, I'm Ty again. Stay solid.
Peace.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.